Good morning and welcome to worship at St. Matthew's. I can tell it's a holiday week and the gathering is getting smaller, and most of our leaders are also on vacation and enjoying the last, well, I shouldn't say last of summer, but you realize it's almost gone? Terrible. Just one, we will be using service of the word. I thank Sheila for playing for us again today. And Diane does have tickets for the golf tournament. And the proceeds of that are going towards our parking lot. As you can see, it's kind of in rough shape. The Holy Gospel according to the 12th chapter of Luke. Someone in a crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who sent me up to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of our Lord. The sermon today came from David Hunter of Peace Vernon, B.C. Starts out with, this is a true story. A local Canadian newspaper report several years ago described a man who was searching for his common-law wife. It seems that she mysteriously disappeared. The very same day she discovered she was holding a lottery ticket worth $2.5 million. How would you explain something like that? Foul play? A new taste of freedom? Greed? Did she just not want to share? It was hard to tell if the husband was reaching out from concern for the well-being of his wife, or if he was more like the man in the gospel today who approached Jesus saying, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." We are not given the benefit of knowing the father's intentions for the inheritance he left to his sons. We don't know what went on in the relationship of the lucky couple who had the winning lottery ticket. In spite of all the unanswered questions, we naturally speculate about the problem and form our own conclusions. We have encountered this dynamic in many contexts. A parent won't get through life without hearing a child's complaint, "It's not there. Her piece is bigger than mine." If the Bible was a simple answer book, he would take the solution Jesus offers and run with it. After all, if Solomon could use his wisdom to settle a dispute between two mothers claiming the same child as their own, surely Jesus could resolve this squabble over inheritance money. In fact, a viable formula for settling this kind of dispute could go a long way in today's world. But Jesus does not own this problem. "Friend, who sent me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" We are left without an answer to how siblings are to share the worldly possessions of parental legacy. Instead, Jesus zeroes in on the root issue that has broad implications. "Take care," Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Truer words were never spoken, and yet our world continues to revolve around stuff. I am guilty myself, and I mean me. I have a lot of stuff in my life. I even think I like it that way. Having the resources for pursuing recreational interests is wonderful. We even get the cultural message that we deserve it. Basic shelter is a necessity. But having a nice home with cozy furniture, room to accommodate guests, and space to pursue hobbies like gardening is a very satisfying bonus. Where is the line between contented appreciation for what I have and anxious lust for more? How much is enough before our abundance of possessions crosses over into the realm of greed? Don't ask me. I am not a judge or arbitrator over you. One thing I do believe is that having possessions is not itself a reason to feel guilty. The point of the parable is not to condemn the rich. There is nothing wrong with possessing wealth. But in the midst of our abundance, we still need to examine our hearts. If greed rules our lives, there is no treasure that will satisfy us. In a life governed by greed, nothing is special. Nothing is prized above all else, and ultimately, nothing is loved. In Jesus' parable, the rich man had that Midas touch. The riches kept growing and the stores increased. Whatever he touched prospered. He was a very good financial manager. His retirement was secure with all those large barns loaded with grain. We are tempted to say he was blessed. This is what we often think of people who have everything. In a sense, it is a way of acknowledging gratitude to God for the things we have. When I say I am blessed, I am not claiming sole responsibility for the goodness of my life. Source beyond myself has blessed me. When I am blessed, I give thanks. But here's the thing. Our attitude toward the things we own can make them a blessing or a curse. We are really only blessed when we learn to be a blessing to others. When our main focus is the accumulation and protection of possessions, we no longer own them. They own us. This is where the rich man of the parable fell down. His fault was not his wealth, but his exclusive focus on himself. As his wealth grew, he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have ample goods laid up for many, many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." This is better than Freedom 55. It beats a lottery win. This is a satisfied resting on the abundant rewards of success. But Jesus warns that there's something much more important that the man is missing. His narrow focus on himself has made his world very small. In the end, all that he has accumulated and stored is worthless. When his life comes to an end, full storage bins are a currency with no value. Better than storing up treasures for ourselves is being rich toward God. The difference is in our relationships. When we value people over things and love neighbors as ourselves, our anxiety over things will decrease. It is not that God doesn't want us to save for retirement or future needs. It is not that God doesn't want us to eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy what God has given us. We know from the Gospels that Jesus spent time eating and drinking with people and enjoying life. But he was also clear where his true security lay. It is all about priorities. It is about who is truly God in our lives. It is about how we invest our lives in the gifts that God has given us. It is about how our lives are fundamentally aligned towards ourselves and passing desires, or toward God and our neighbor, towards God's mission to bless and redeem the world. To be truly blessed, we might try generosity. For in giving to others, the value of what we have increases. Supporting local charity improves the quality of life for all. Offerings to the church not only keeps the doors open, but deepen the connection we experience in the congregation. Loosening our grip on things can open our connection to people. There is nothing inherently wrong with wealth and prosperity, but regardless of our economic status, true blessing comes not through what we have, but through what we give. The measure of our riches is not the size of our barns or bank accounts, but the plans for their contents. For in our care for others, we are truly blessed and enriched toward God. In the end, what matters is the love of Christ flowing through us to help our neighbor and establish our reliance on God. So, take care. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Let God's love dwell in you richly and guide your love for your neighbor.